Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, January 11th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Meet them where they are. Where are they and who are they? We're going to talk about that this morning. Cool story that happened with me years ago as I was working on a teaching degree in my education classes. I had a professor tell me, meet them where they are, and I didn't really know what he meant, but we're going to talk about that this morning. Happy New Year, everybody. I know this is the second week we've been back in since the calendar rolled over to 2026, but excited for a new year. Hope you're doing well this morning and are looking forward to another great year on 2026. May the Lord bless you and be with us this morning as we start breaking down life together. Glad you're here with us on Sunday morning. Our verse of encouragement today is John 16:33, and Jesus is speaking here. He says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, exclamation point, I have overcome the world. Y'all, if that's not a great verse going into 2026 and a new year and a new start and it's fresh and everybody's got these New Year's resolutions, if there's something in your life, if there's something going on that you're struggling with, or even if times are great, who doesn't want peace? Jesus tells us right there, if you want this, and look, he says it like he's talking to me when I was in middle school. I've told you these things. He's talking to the disciples, but he's talking to us today, y'all, so listen to that. I've told you these things, like you've heard it before. So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. So we're going to have trouble. It's not going to be a free and easy life and a bunch of get out of jail card frees from the Monopoly board. No, we're going to have trouble. He tells us right there. But he says, take heart, exclamation point. You know, if you ever written a letter or written a note to somebody and you put an exclamation or you get a text from somebody and there's an exclamation point, that means something. It's significant. And I think that's cool right there. He says, but take heart. That's like, don't worry. I got you. And he says right after that, I have overcome the world. So y'all, if Jesus has overcome the world already, what do we have to worry about? I know we go through life and we've all got stresses and we've got all have problems and every bit of that. I'm not discounting any of it. But Jesus has already overcome the world. God sent his son, sent himself as in human form as the human sacrifice for all of our sin and all the bad stuff. He's already conquered all that. What more do we need? And I know when you trust in him, man, it just seems a lot of those issues seem to go away. And he just gives you a peace. I've talked to so many people in life where there's just a peace. There's just a peace. God gave me this peace. Yeah, because God's got you. And he wants you to know that. I know times in my life when I've had that peace, walking through some of the darkest, some of the hardest times of my life. But they were so peaceful, and I can't put it into words. Only thing I can do to try to explain that, and those of you that have been through something similar, you just receive the grace and you receive the peace. And it's bigger than anything you could ever imagine. And it's hard to go through, but it's pretty stinking cool. And so if you've never done that, just say a little prayer. Just say, God, I don't really understand that. Or, God, I do understand that, and I want that again in my life. But just spend some time reflecting with him today. And, you know, just take heart. You want peace? There it is. He tells us right there in John 16:33. We're going to come back here on the other side and talk about how we use that peace to impact other people and meeting people where they are. And a pretty funny story coming up here in just a few. Glad you're with us here on Sunday morning. Come on back in here on Sunday morning, talking just about meeting people where they are. And where I heard that years ago is I was working on a teaching degree. This would have probably been 2010-ish. And I was at Columbia State knocking out some of my education courses. And I had a class one summer. It was called Technology for Teachers. And I thought, easy A, no problem. I'm not the greatest at technology. And this is 15 years ago. But nonetheless, you know, maybe I'll learn how to make an Excel spreadsheet, which I did. But nonetheless, we get in there and we get to the first assignment, the first paper that we had to write for this cagey old professor. And he looks at us and he says, all right, I want you to write a paper. And it can be one page or it can be 10 pages. It's totally up to you. But I want you to just imagine, close your eyes for a second, And imagine what your first classroom is going to look like as far as technology goes. And this is when the smart boards were really coming out, interactive, you know, that you could, you know, use a chalkboard that, you know, was computerized, and computers were really being integrated into the systems, and just a really neat time as far as technology goes. But he said, I want you to write a paper and just tell me, describe what your classroom is going to look like. And when you get your first classroom, and tell me what kind of technology is going to be in there. So I went home, man, this is easy. I got this knocked out. I wrote about a 5-page paper, and I just said, you know what? I like technology. I believe it's the future, but I'm going to make sure my kids appreciate it. Or appreciate what we were raised with and what we grew up with. And so I said, man, I'm not going to have any computers. I'm not going to have any interactive boards. I'm not going to have, I may have a TV just to show a video from time to time, but I said, I'm going to teach these kids how to, you know, how to write letters by hand. We're going to write letters by hand once a week. And I did that, by the way, anyway. I think it's a great exercise for all of us to do. But I said, we're going to have typewriters. We're going to have all, tell them how to change the typewriter ribbon and use the liquid paper to make correct mistakes and all that fun stuff, just so they'll appreciate, you know, what we had to go through versus what they've got now or 15 years ago. And so I wrote this paper. I mean, it didn't take an hour to write a 5-page paper because I was passionate about it. I said, man, that's easy. There's my technology. Take this. And so I turn it in, and a few days later, we get the papers back. And in red letters, it was a 64 circled in red, and see me after class. And so I went up and saw the professor, and he gave me some advice. And he looked at me, and he said, Shaw, do you really believe what you wrote here? And I said, absolutely. I sure do. And he said, well, I want you to do me a favor. He said, I want you to go down to your advisor's office and change your major because you're going to fail miserably as a teacher. And I looked at him and I said, well, thanks for the encouragement. What do you mean? He said, let me give you some advice. He said, these people are younger than you. And he said, these kids that you're going to be teaching one day, no matter what age, they were born with an iPad, you know, coming out of the womb. They know technology. And he said, they're going to get more and more advanced for it, and as it goes through the years. And he said, you're going to get left behind if you're not careful, because he said, they're not coming to you, old man. And each year it goes by, you're going to get older and older, and the generations are going to get younger and younger. He said, you got to meet them where they are, because they're not coming to you. And I just, you know, it hurt my feelings. And I went home over the weekend, and I just sat and thought about it and prayed about it, and I realized he was right. And it was some of the best advice I ever got when it came to dealing with students moving forward in my career. But it also was true with just relationships in general, you know, with my own family, with my wife and my sons, and with friends and people at the Little League Park and wherever it may be. Now that I work for another company, I mean, it's amazing how that little bit of advice changed my mindset or my heart set as far as how I approach people. It's not about Shaw's way. And I can sit here, and I know we all want our own way, and that's just sinful nature and all that kind of stuff. We want control, every bit of that kind of stuff. But when I'm trying to get to know people or have an impact in somebody's life or a group of people's life or whatever, wherever the Lord leads me, I got to meet that individual or that group of people where they are. Because you know what? They don't care what I think. I got to approach him with, you know, guard down and say, hey, man, what's going on? Let me get to know you before we start debating and arguing and doing all that stuff. Let's just talk. Let's just get to know one another. And, you know, it reminds me of that old adage, too. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think those two dovetail together when it talks about relationships and how we can develop relationships on a deeper level. And just realize it's not about me, but it's about everybody else. So where can I make a difference in other people's lives? So wherever you are today, whoever that person is in your life that you're struggling with or that you want to get to know or whatever the deal may be, it may be an individual, it may be a job opportunity, it may be somebody you're trying to encourage that the Lord's laid on your heart, but meet them where they are. Forget about you for a second and go meet them where they are and see what God does in your life. It's pretty cool. So hang on to that, put it under your hat, and let's try that a little bit more going into 2026. All right, everybody, keep on smiling, because you know what? Jesus loves you. Welcome back, everybody. As we were talking last segment about just meeting people where they are, meet them where they are. You know, put your agendas aside, put your beliefs, not necessarily your beliefs, but your intentions, whatever that may be. Don't have an agenda. If you really want to make a difference in people's lives, just get to know them. Get to know them first. Don't worry about being right. Don't worry about being first. Just put other people before yourself and go meet them where they are. And then you're more approachable, and then you can have a conversation. You can make a difference. My brother and I used to fight like cats and dogs growing up. I mean, it was just, you know, as brothers do, those of you that have brothers or siblings, and you know how only your siblings can get under your skin, but we did. And back in, you know, probably in our mid-20s, we just kind of had the realization, you know, it's not worth it. And so our mantra became, hey, I'd rather win a brother than an argument. And so it was really good for our relationship, and it's held true for a lot of years, and that's what we've got to focus on with each other. You know, don't worry about being first. Don't worry about being right. Just worry about being there. Worry about being in the moment and understanding people and listening to people and just respecting people too, quite honestly, because you don't know what people are going through. I don't know what people are going through. And so when I see somebody driving down the interstate or somebody that's got a bad day at work or a customer or whatever it may be, I just got to kick back and go, hey, you know what? There's something going on there, and I'm just going to slow down and see if I can't, you know, talk to them, encourage them. And who knows, they may open up and that conversation may be the difference maker in their life. It really might. Over the holidays, Christmas break and New Year's, I'm in sales, and I was off the road a little bit and just had some time to get away and go to the hunting camp for a few days and just, you know, spend time in God's creation. And it's so just therapeutic and so good for the soul. I think I would encourage everybody to go sit in the woods or sit outside just without any distraction and just had some great time to think and be alone with the Lord. And one of the things I just thought about and came into 2026 as one of my personal goals is with my customers. I go into a lot of industrial plants and I just spend more time walking the line and getting to know the people on the line. And I mean, they may not be ordering the product, and they may not be the ones I've got to convince to buy my product or whatever it may be, but those are people, and they're having hard times, and they're having good times, and they just want to do life with people. And so I just committed that each and every account, each week, some of them have 5, 6, 7, 8 assembly lines or industrial fabrication lines or whatever it may be. I'm just going to take every week, I'm going to take one line, and I'm just going to slow walk it. And I'm just going to enjoy getting to know people and developing and continuing to develop those relationships, because the people that I deal with 9.5 years in to this career were all people that I met on that same assembly line 9 years ago. And we were all coming up together. And now they're in places of purchasing power and decision-making. And I've learned a little bit in 9 years. And so now we come together and we do a lot of business together. But I want to make sure I don't neglect those relationships with everybody that I've got an opportunity to come into contact with. Because you know what? Encouragement is contagious. And who doesn't want to smile? Who doesn't want to be encouraged? And y'all, I get more out of my job when I can go do that as opposed to selling stuff. Now, that's my job, is to sell, and I get that, and I'm very thankful for what I do. But when you can go and you can make a difference in somebody's life, and you can spend just 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes talking to them, understanding them, praying for them, and going, man, I'm with you. I hear you. I know what you're going through. Again, you just don't know what one little kind comment or one conversation is going to do for somebody or in their life. So meet them where they are. Take an opportunity, look around. Who is God laying on your heart? What person, what group of people can you inspire, can you impact? God will lay it on your heart, and then it's your job just to move forward and take a step of faith and go, God, I'm going to trust you in this situation. Because you know what? Back to our verse in John 16:33, you've already conquered the world. What do I have to worry about? Let me help you go and conquer the world and be a believer, be a salt and a light, and be an impact on this community and in this world. So take a minute, think about that, pray about that, and just whoever the Lord lays on your heart, go reach out and make a phone call. Go pay them a visit and just meet somebody where they are today, okay? Keep on keeping on it, everybody. Glad you're listening today. I hope you're doing well this morning. I hope life's treating you well. If it's not, just hang in there, because it's going to get better. But hey, looking forward to 2026. We're talking about impacting people, meeting them where they are, being a difference maker, really is what it gets right down to. And, you know, one of the last segments, I was talking about a quote from C.S. Lewis where he said, "Do not let your happiness depend on something you may lose." And, y'all, there's only one thing in this world we can't lose, and that's our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ. And God loves us so much that he gave us that grace through Jesus Christ, and that just sacrifice that he hung on the cross for us is just so amazing. And so everything else, whether it's money, whether it's finance, whether it's possessions, whether it's jobs, whether it's health, we can lose every bit of that. But there's one thing that we can't lose when we're in his hand, and that's our salvation. And so I hope you know him today, because eternity is eternity. And as old Tom McCoy up at Thompson Station Church used to say in Tennessee, eternity is too long to be wrong. And I agree with that, Tom. Hope you're doing well out there this morning. But hey, what do we do with that? I mean, okay, yes, all right, I've prayed up. I've go to church. I know I've got a relationship with the Lord. So how do I go and impact other people? You know, it just starts one conversation at a time. And you just got to go. I was talking to my oldest son, Ian, and he's got a new job, and he's going to have to start making some presentations in front of people, large groups of people. And I said, man, you know, a little bit of it's just age, and you just kind of get seasoned to it. But really, basically, what you got to do is you got to get up there, and you just got to know your material, and you just got to get to know people. And I said, when you develop and you approach it, don't be worried about, oh, I got to get up in front of 50 or 100 people or 20 people, 10 people, whatever it may be. Just go and focus on the relationships that you're going to make with these people. And the impact that you're going to have in their lives. And yeah, it's a little awkward to get up and do public speaking if you're not used to it. But man, once you get the hang of it, it gets kind of fun. And you know, you just never know who you're going to impact. But for me, I know everybody's got a different journey. I should have known a long time ago that I was going to be in the career that I'm in as far as sales and dealing with people and being here with you guys each and every week just talking. Because, you know, I grew up in Crestline, Alabama, and my family and I talk about this all the time. There was not a better place on the planet Earth to grow up in the 70s and 80s than in Crestline, Alabama. And we could ride our bikes to and from school. We could walk around the neighborhood. We had wiffle ball. We had basketball. We had football. Everything on our street. We had neighbors. We had kids our age. I mean, it was just, you know, you went outside and you were a kid all day. And you came back in dirty. And you didn't come back in before the porch light was on. But you better be in with about 5 minutes of that porch light being on, because dinner was ready and everybody was, mom and dad were ready to go. But just saying all that, but about the age of, I'm telling you, literally 5 or 6 years old, we had a kind of a, it wasn't a very high traffic neighborhood. So we were kind of blessed. It was about a three block neighborhood on the side of a hill. And there just wasn't a lot of traffic, but I had strategically placed around the neighborhood little old ladies that I would go visit at 5 and 6 years old. And I know that I would go down the street and I would see Miss Barnhart and she would give me a Coca-Cola. And I'd sit and have a Coca-Cola with Miss Barnhart. And we'd visit on the front porch and we'd just talk about all life's problems at 5 years old, and she was probably 95. But we had a great conversation as often as we could. And then I'd get up and I'd walk up two blocks up the hill and I'd go see Miss Wood. And she'd give me some kind of a cookie or a brownie or something and probably another Coke or whatever. But I just began to develop at a very early age a passion and a love for just talking to people and just having a conversation and slowing down. And I was reminded of that this holiday as I was just trying to slow down and think about what was different when I was younger. You know, why am I so fast-paced and exhausted? I mean, at the end of 2025, I'll be honest with you guys, I was exhausted. But I had a great opportunity just to slow down for 10 days and just go, okay, I'm not traveling, I'm not on the road, doing some prep planning for next year and all that good stuff, but just not in the rat race day in, day out. Slept so much better and all that stuff. But as I thought about it, it's because I slowed down. It's because I went and had a conversation with somebody in the neighborhood on the front porch. And it reminded me of Miss Barnhart. It reminded me of Miss Wood and all the fun people over around Braddock Avenue in Cresta, Alabama, back in the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, just what an incredible time. And it helped shape and mold me. And I never really thought about that. But, you know, I'm telling you, 5, 6 years old, who would let a 5 and 6 year old go do that? I mean, maybe my parents need to be talked to. But yeah, it was a different world back then, y'all. And it just, you could go and you could talk to people and you could have relationships. So my encouragement to you is go have that conversation. You don't have to be 5 years old. You got, or 95 years old, but somebody needs to have a conversation. Somebody needs to share a Coca-Cola or a glass of water or lemonade or whatever it may be. But reach out, expand your horizons, get out of your comfort zone and go meet somebody where they are today. All right. Tell me you'll do that and see how it goes. Trust the Lord, y'all. Jesus loves you. I hope you've been able to settle in and have a cup of coffee with us this morning as we talk about impacting people. We talk about meeting people where they are. So your question may be, Shaw, where can I meet somebody? Where's an opportunity to meet people? I'm not good at that. I don't know. Just open your eyes. Just look around, pray about it. The Lord will lay it on your heart. I've told this story before, but I felt like sharing it again. But about a year ago, lost a very good friend of mine, Miss Barbara. And we met at the Piggly Wiggly. And the story I love telling about Miss Barbara is I was working on a teaching degree. I was in my mid-30s. Janet, my wife, she was supporting us, working 50, 60 hours, slaving herself, working as a nurse at Vanderbilt while I was getting my teaching degree. So a huge sacrifice she made for our family, and I'm so thankful for that. Love you, baby. And, you know, it was just kind of cool how it all came together at the right time. But I remember I was working part-time at the Piggly Wiggly Northway in Columbia, Tennessee. And Miss Barbara and I were there together. And after a few weeks, she looked at me and she said, you know, I know you work weekends, Friday nights, Saturdays, all as much as you can, and then Sunday mornings. She said, don't you miss being in church with your family on Sunday mornings? And I said, Barbara, I do. But she and I were kind of the opening team on Sunday mornings, and we would get there at, you know, a little before 7 o'clock and open the store and all that good stuff. And I said, Barbara, I do, but this is temporary. I said, once I get out and get my degree, I'm going to hopefully get a job teaching, and I'll be back on a Monday through Friday schedule. And, you know, I'll be able to get back in church on Sundays. But I said, the way I look at it right now is on Sunday mornings, we all go to a church building and Janet goes and rocks the babies. I go and teach fifth grade Sunday school. My boys are all young. They're all in different classes. And so we basically go in for 3 hours and we all sit in different parts of the church. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I think you need to be in church when you can. But we were all separated when we'd be in the building. And so if I worked on Sunday afternoons, I could go to church with my family, but we'd all be in separate rooms and wouldn't get to spend the time together. So what I've thought was the better plan as a family and as a unit is they would go to church on Sunday mornings, I would go to work, and then about the time I got off work, around 1, 2 o'clock, they'd be home after their naps, and we could all spend Sunday afternoon or Sunday night together. And so it's just kind of a just relayed that to Barbara and just said, that's kind of what I'm thinking. This is what, you know, it's temporary, right? That's what I'm going to do. And I said, but on top of that, Barbara, I said, you know, you don't have to go to a church building to have church. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, it's not the bricks and mortar that make the church. It's the people. And I did my fingers, you know how you did as a kid, you intertwined them and you folded them over and you said, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, and there's all the people. So kind of laughed about that. And I said, you know, Barbara, we could have church right here next Sunday. And it'd be the church at the Piggly Wiggly. And she just kind of laughed. And I remember smiling and walking away. And a few minutes later, an hour or so later, I came back around and it was kind of slow. And we started talking again. I said, you know what? I tell you what, let's do it. I said, I'll read some scripture and I'll prepare a little, not a sermon, but just a word of inspiration for us. And we'll have church at the Piggly Wiggly. And she looked at me and she said, all right, I tell you what. She said, I'll stop at the Hardee's and I'll pick us up some biscuits so we can break bread together. And therein met an opportunity that we could have said, oh, poor us. We're not in church. We can't be with our family, respective families in church on Sunday mornings. And that would have been easy to have done. Or we could just make a difference and meet people where they are. And we did. And we started that at the church at the Piggly Wiggly. And that went on for a year, maybe two. I can't remember exactly how long we did that. But we had other people. We had customers and coworkers at the Piggly Wiggly that would come in and we would do church together. And they just kind of knew. It was a 15-minute maybe little prayer. And, hey, here's what's going on in life. But, man, people of all different walks, all different faiths, all different races, they came together and made a difference in each other's lives because we just stepped out and said, hey, let's go meet people where they are. So keep on keeping on and go reach out to somebody. Where can you make a difference? I don't know where it is. It could be at the ball field. It could be in the office. It could also be at the local Piggly Wiggly. So go check it out and see where you can meet somebody. Wow, can't believe we're already to the end of another show here, just talking about meeting people where they are. You know, I had the thought just a little while ago as we were kind of in between breaks, but, you know, so thankful to be able to meet people where they are, because, you know, that's what Jesus did with me. He met me where I was years ago, and it wasn't a great place. But you know what? He came alongside me, and he put his arm around me, and he picked me up, and he said, it's going to be okay. And y'all, I've trusted him ever since. And I know I fail from time to time in trusting him with big things, small things, or medium things, anything in between. But when I do trust him, y'all, he's there every time. And you know, that's one thing, that C.S. Lewis quote we talked about a little while ago, not letting your happiness depend on something you may lose. Y'all, you'll never lose Jesus Christ. You tell him, I trust you, he's going to be there every time. And you know what? He's going to meet you in the dark places. He's going to meet you at the good places, but he's going to meet you at the in-between. But at the end of the day, he's going to meet you. So because he does that for us and he loves us so much, why can't we do that for other people? I mean, he gave his life for us. All we need to do is just go have a conversation with somebody. Just go meet them. Just go see. You know, just story after story, just one kind word, one little five-minute conversation, or just a smile as you're passing somebody has literally saved somebody from going home and committing suicide. I've heard those stories. And you just don't know what people are going through. I'll say this again. I try to say it every week. We're all going through this thing called life, and nobody has all the answers. But I know the answer that I have in Jesus Christ and the security that I have in Jesus Christ, that he'll never let me down and I'll never lose him. And I hope you have that same encouragement. I hope you have that same faith. If you don't, just try him. Just say, God, Jesus, who are you? Where are you real? I'm going through something and I'm struggling with this. And what do I do? And just get quiet and listen, and he'll answer you, because John 16:33 said that, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Y'all, he tells us right there, he's overcome it. So he's got it. If you're going through something hard, if you're just embarrassed or nervous or anxious about trying to get out and expand your circle or meeting somebody where they are or whatever it is, whoever got it, don't worry about it. God's going to give you the words to say. Just trust him. He's going to give you whatever you need. I know when I trust him, he does for me. And when I don't trust him, sometimes he still gives it to me, but sometimes he doesn't, and it's hurt. It hurts, and it's painful and all that kind of stuff. But when you trust him, he'll fix it, and he'll make it right, and he'll lead you in a way and in a direction that you never dreamed possible, because he loves you and he loves me, and that's what he wants. He just wants a relationship with us. So take heart. He has overcome the world. And trust in him with everything that you have. Go meet somebody. Meet them where they are, at the grocery store, at school, at work, at the gas station, or just walking down the street. Go smile at somebody. Go shake their hand. Give them a warm hug and just let them know that Jesus loves them too. And just remember, everybody, keep on smiling, because Jesus loves you. And at the end of the day, that's everything. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you back here next week on Sunday morning.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.